Hi, and welcome to The Hustle, a professional development podcast series in conjunction with the MasterCard Foundation Scholars Program. I'm your host, Hali Rubera, an alum of the MasterCard Foundation Scholars Program at Wellesley College. And with this series, I will share the stories of accomplished African professionals from different backgrounds, currently working in investment banking, management consulting, big tech, and more. Each episode discusses the wide array of career opportunities and provides listeners with advice about working at top firms such as Goldman Sachs, Facebook, and Novartis. The title of this podcast, The Hustle, is an ode to my hometown of Nairobi, Kenya, which I love and where the spirit of the hustle, hard work, and resilience shines bright. Today, I have the pleasure of hosting a good friend of mine, Arnie Omondi. Arnie earned a BA in computer science from Harvard University and just graduated this year. He's currently a solutions engineer at Facebook in Seattle, and his past experience has actually been at Facebook with a couple of software engineering internships from the time that he started college. So Arnie is also from Nairobi, Kenya. And Arnie, welcome, and tell us just a little bit about what your professional journey has been like up until this point as a solutions engineer at Facebook.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ali. I have, as you said, right now I'm working as a solutions engineer at Facebook in Seattle. And so my journey was a little bit interesting. I started applying for internships in my sophomore year. At the time I was like really scrambling to get an internship, and I honestly like chanced upon the Facebook internship, which was specifically like Facebook University Engineering, which is specifically for first years and second years. And that really just started the path and like led me to where I am today. So it was really just that first internship and then getting to now my job as a solutions engineer.
Mm-hmm. And what has it been to be a solutions engineer?
Yeah, so solutions engineering is a very unique role at Facebook. So it's sort of like, I like to think of it as a combination of PM, project management, and the traditional software engineering role. So solutions engineering works specifically with Facebook marketing and advertising partners to find technological solutions to whatever challenges that they may have, that so that Facebook can help them meet their needs. So in particular, I work with the small business division of solutions engineering, which means that I work closely with small businesses to figure out how can Facebook help with their marketing, with their outreach, and with their advertising, so that they can better reach their financial goals, and also so that they can better connect with the particular customers that they want. So this involves coming up with new features, new tools, and also new products, and building them. And it's a really great role. I like it so far. It's really engaging.
So Arnie, thank you for sharing that. I think as someone who consume social media just, you know, to kind of update family on what's happening in my life, or to, you know, to kind of follow friends and former classmates, etc., I don't necessarily associate Facebook with businesses. And I do know that they're big on advertising and stuff like that. But what would you say should be the motivation for someone who's trying to look for a career at Facebook but doesn't necessarily feel that they fit in, especially because they're not maybe a traditional techie or like maybe a UX designer? Or, you know, like how did you go about even finding out that there was a role like solutions engineer at Facebook and that it's something that you probably could have enjoyed?
Yeah, so I think that especially with this big tech companies, one of the advantages that they have is you have a lot of breadth and just like a lot of diverse array of different roles that you can fill. Because Facebook, it's not just a tech company. Like it has a finance division, it has a marketing division, it has legal needs. So really, almost anything that you can think of, Facebook is hiring for. So really, I would say the best thing is to talk to people who work in this tech companies or work in these companies and see like what the vibe is. Because at the end of the day, you also want to make sure you're fulfilling a role where you sort of the vibe fits with you. And I'd say that was definitely the case for me at solutions engineering. I didn't, so my getting into solutions engineering is a bit of an interesting story. I didn't really apply for the role. I did my software engineering internship in junior summer, and usually at the end of your internship, Facebook decides to either give you a return offer or not based on your performance during that internship. And I wasn't able to finish my project, so I didn't get a return offer from Facebook for the software engineering role. But throughout the entire time in the internship, I kept talking to my manager, and I mentioned to him that like a lot of the things about the work that I was doing, I didn't like the fact that it wasn't collaborative, the like specific things I was doing, I wasn't really that interested in. So I kept having that conversation with my manager. And I think he like put this down somewhere, because about 2 or 3 months after the internship ended, I got an email from one of the recruiters at Facebook, and they basically were telling me, oh, we have this role that we think would be perfect for you. And they didn't even want to like do like any phone screenings. They just invited me straight for an on-site interview, which I did, and that's how I got the role. So I think like what I learned from that is just like being open and honest about what it is that you like, what it is that fits with you in any of the conversations that you're having. And I think like the fact that I was able to do that in my internship is really what led me to doing this role that much better fits with the sort of work environment that I would like to be in.
Mm-hmm. And Ernest, I have to also commend you for being proactive, because I think, you know, even just from the onset when you mentioned that you kind of stumbled on Facebook by chance and it wasn't necessarily like in your plans that you were going to apply to Facebook. And then even when you finally got the internship, you kind of were very vocal and open with your manager about the things that you wanted and the things that mattered to you, your professional development and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, especially because we both would agree that it's, you know, when you're a college student, it's kind of not clear what you want to do with yourself once you graduate. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like questions about, do I want, you know, impact, like the kind of impact that you want to leave or make, or the kind of professional development you'd like to have, like those kinds of questions that don't necessarily have answers when you're starting mm-hmm. out college. But I think that a lot of us also suffer from not, you know, reaching out, kind of letting that moment in your life almost paralyze you. You know, it's like, oh, I really don't know what mm-hmm. I'm gonna do, but I'm not gonna do anything about it. And I think that's a wrong approach. So even just for mm-hmm. you figuring out like, okay, I know I need an internship, because why did you even decide to get an internship your sophomore year? Why was it important?
So I think my wanting to get an internship was it was more of trying to go with the plan that I sort of felt like I was getting pushed to do from every direction. Mm-hmm. So once I got to sophomore year, I had to decide what major I wanted course I wanted to major in, and I decided on computer science. And once I decided on computer science, I started to think, what was the path that I wanted for myself? Did I want to continue on to computer science as an academic, as a scholar, or did I want to go into the industry or something completely different? And then I started having conversations with upperclassmen, and I realized that for computer science in particular, a lot of people get internships pretty early on, and those internships seem to sort of secure the bag in terms of getting job offers for after college. So I sort of was on a scramble then, and that's what I alluded to before, how once I realized this, I sort of felt like I was very behind, because I decided to become a computer science student in my second year of college, while other people had like come into college knowing what it is they wanted to do. So I would say that it really depends on what it is that you want to do after college. Considering that I'm an international student, I also factored that heavily because doing a STEM major allows you to stay in the US for an extra 2 years, which is something that I was interested in. And computer science itself has a lot of job opportunities, what with the rise in the interest in tech that we've been seeing in the past couple of decades. Mm-hmm. So really like those are the main factors that I was looking at when it came to deciding whether or not I wanted an internship.
Again, I have to give it to you for proactivity, you know, reaching out to upperclassmen. I think that's a resource that we heavily underutilize, you know, people who've gone before you and kind of know what the path looks like. And even though maybe at the onset when you did take the internship, it wasn't necessarily for you to get clarity, but you did get clarity in the end, right? Because you did your sophomore internship and then you did your junior internship and then realized, okay, this isn't necessarily the path I want to take, regardless of whether you had decided to pursue computer science and a career in software engineering. So I definitely have to underscore that. And you also mentioned a little bit that you had decided to change your major your sophomore year, or declare your computer science as your major in your sophomore year. I know that you had started out as a mechanical engineer. So why did you make the switch? Is the first question. And the second is, at the time, did it feel like a momentous decision? Like, oh my goodness, I'm changing the entire course of my life. It's gonna be so hard, you know. And I guess I'll let you answer that and kind of follow up after.
So I grew up in Nairobi, Kenya, and I feel like other Kenyans who will be listening would completely agree with me that the sort of careers that are pushed on you as you grow up are like the quote unquote stable careers, like medicine, law, engineering. So I feel like that's what I had in my head as the possible paths that I could have. So I came into Harvard wanting to be a mechanical engineer, and I took my first engineering class my freshman spring, so this first year spring, and honestly, like, I did not like that class. I really didn't like it. Like, I have this particular memory of the first project that we were doing in class, where we were given a hand drill and we were told to take it apart and then sort of understand the mechanics of it. And I was just sitting there looking at my drill and thinking, I really don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Like, it was almost like a light bulb moment. I was just like, this is not for me. So immediately that happened, I sort of panicked, because basically the entire time that I was applying to universities, I was so clear that I wanted to be an engineer. And now that I'd started this class, I was like, maybe this isn't the path for me. So I started to look around, started to think, okay, so what is it that I can do? Keeping in mind that I only wanted to pursue STEM careers because I wanted to stay in the US a little bit longer. So that sort of narrowed my field. And in the end, I was heavily considering taking psychology. I considered taking English literature at some point, because I do love reading and I do love writing. But of course, because of the STEM path, that was
That
not, yeah, English is not STEM, unfortunately.
not STEM. The E in STEM is definitely not for English literature.
Is definitely not English literature. I know, no. Maybe it should be, but right now it's not.
It should be.
So definitely that was the case for me. And eventually I so CS50, which is like a really popular first class of computer science at Harvard, is offered online as well. And during the summer before my sophomore year, I decided to take the class and sort of see how it was. And I actually like really enjoyed it. It was so much fun, just like coding up and creating things. And I thought, oh, this might be something I like. So I ended up taking the class, really liking it, and honestly, that was the beginning of basically the path that has led me to where I am right now.
I think that the theme of this podcast episode should be proactivity, because you see, you even went through the process of, like, you know, didn't want to do mechanical engineering, but that was not necessarily a death sentence just because you were kind of switching paths to something, to an unknown. You did go online and kind of check out a couple of other options and put your heart into it, and here we are now. So, like, yeah, looking back, what's the lesson learned from making that decision? Have you felt like kind of decision making has become easier, I guess, as time has passed? Or, you know, what's kind of like your
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you just mentioned that it seemed like it wasn't a death trap. But honestly, it felt like that in the moment. Like it felt like I had just cut myself loose from all that I'd known to be safe and secure, and I was like trying to find like whatever it is that I could clutch on to. But definitely looking back right now, I think definitely, as you said, the lesson is proactivity. Like the what I'm seeing is like the moments that I was proactive, the moments like I kept asking people and sort of being open and honest with what it is that I wanted, with how it is that I felt, really helped me be able to sort of figure out what particular paths would be more suited to what I was wanting at the time. So definitely a lesson I've learned about making decisions is just like being honest about, first of all, being honest with yourself about what it is that you like, what it is that you're feeling, and also being honest with other people who is gonna help you, right? Like you never know. In fact, I think I vaguely remember this, but I think someone else told me about Facebook University. Like it was something that I was completely gonna miss out on, because I ended up applying to it about 5 days before the deadline. And this is just something that was, someone was like, "Oh, Facebook University is a thing that exists." And then I checked it out and I applied to it. And like 3 years later, I'm working at Facebook. So it's definitely important to be honest with the people around you, to let them know how it is, how everything's going, what your current state is, and how maybe they could be of assistance with whatever it is you want to go.
My next question was gonna be, so what should students be thinking about when, or when should students start thinking about internships? How do they go about resume prep, all that stuff? But it seems to me like that's kind of almost secondary. The most important thing is to even have a path, a clear path about what you want to be doing, and then talk to the right people who help you get to that place, right? Because even if you had like a great resume, or had started applying for internships like early on, if you hadn't spoken to someone who told you about Facebook University, or you hadn't spoken to upperclassmen who talked about kind of what the typical path is for computer science students who want to go into industry, you wouldn't have stumbled upon Facebook, and you're happy where you are, right? Like this has been a good opportunity for you. So I think
Yeah, it
that's
definitely has, yeah.
I think it's I think that me I'll just underscore like, hey, if you're listening and you wanna wherever you wanna end up, I think we really underestimate the power of like the connections and the networks that we make and how those elevate you to those spaces. But I'll still ask, like, now that you've gone through the whole scramble when you were a sophomore and now you're sensei as a solutions engineer at Facebook, what do you have to say to students who are looking to apply to a place like Facebook or are thinking about career choices? When should they start applying to internships? What should they be doing? What should they be thinking? Who should they be talking to?
You mentioned that it's sort of how important it is to sort of think about what it is you want to do. I sort of want to emphasize the fact that at the moment I didn't know what it is I wanted to do, right? Like I didn't apply to Facebook University with the goal of working at Facebook after I graduated, or working specifically as a solutions engineer after I graduated, right? Like what happened was that I was just honest and open about what it is that I wanted, and sort of like was shifted onto the right path, so to speak. So it's really about like not thinking about like planning out every single moment of your career. Like it's more important to know what it is you want. It's more important to know how it is you are in your current state of mind than to know exactly what job you want to be doing in 5 years. Like if you do know that, then that's great, right? But that's not for everyone. So I definitely would say talk to people, talk to people. I think that one thing that I was always told in every career talk throughout college was that you should always reach out to people. They always want to talk to you, and I totally agree with that. I didn't reach out to as many people as I would have hoped to, but the people that I did really, really helped me. So I think just talking to people, find like people who you have connections with. Like if you're in a class with an upperclassman, just ask them like what their past summer was like. What did they do? If for example, if you're like trying to apply to certain companies, like the odds are someone in your school has worked at that company. Look for that person, talk to them, ask them how it is to work there. I think definitely just making connections with people, that's like one of the most important things. Like it's even more important, I think, than like working on your resume or like trying to figure out what would look best. Like just talking to people can sometimes just give you open doors that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, and our audience is a wide area of students, and so not it's not it's not going to be a fact that every single person kind of every single person has like an alum who works at Facebook, but also you can cold call, right? Like there's so many different points of connection that you can find with people who work at, and they're human. I think that's maybe you can attest to this. I don't know whether you felt that way like before, prior to going to Facebook, because this, let's be honest, these are kind of big names. So there could have been that sense of intimidation at the beginning, but like as we're just having a conversation right now, and I'm sure the same conversation you could have with someone else at Facebook, and obviously not everyone's gonna respond to cold emails or cold calls, and there's definitely ways to go about it that are more efficient and kind of yield better results. But I think that's also something that maybe is, I don't know, is it not like a thing that we do, that we reach out to people, but people should be doing it, right?
And I think I really like your point about like cold calling people and 'cause like cold call people, but also don't get de-energized if they don't respond. Like remember that this like people are like but people are also human, right? The same way you might like forget to text your friend for like a week or 2 weeks is the same way someone might forget to look at your email, right? So like don't take things too personally, but also like be persistent, right? Like if the first person doesn't work out, go on to the next person, right? And as you said, like it's definitely like not everyone, not like you might not always know someone who's working in these companies, but for sure, like especially in this age of like LinkedIn, like it's very possible that you know someone who knows someone. So like definitely just try and make use of whatever network it is that you have. Even if you don't know someone that works at these companies, maybe you know someone who's heard of a job like position that's open, right? Like that's exactly what happened to me in Facebook University. Someone I knew told me that there was a job position open. So yeah, definitely just making the most use of your network.
Yeah, and I think that those have been like the two top themes have been productivity and networking. And I think that's a great segue into my next question, which is you've taken on a couple of mentorship roles ever since you graduated high school, ever since I knew you. You were always like at Pace Kenya, or you were doing ACAD, and you also happened to be a peer advising fellow at Harvard. Why did you why were you drawn to being a mentor, I guess, is the question. Why did you think it was important for you to kind of share the lessons that you'd learned? I'm guessing that's what you did as a mentor. But why was it important for you to do this?
So I for me I think so in I one of my really good friends, his name is George Kadiani. He was a year above me in high school, and he sort of took me on as a mentee and someone who he would like give advice to and help out. And I really liked that. He really helped me. Like he helped me discover my like passion for choir, and like I always knew I loved to sing, but he's the one that pushed me to join the high school choir, and I ended up joining a choir at Harvard as well. He's the one who like applied to schools applied to universities in the US, and he helped me out with my application. He like connected me with so many people. So I really benefited a lot from mentorship, and not just George, but a lot of other people throughout my life have helped me so much in so many ways. And so I always felt like there was a sort of the sort of need for me to find a way to also help someone else in the same way. And also, I'm the kind of person that I really enjoy connecting with other people, and I think that things like being a peer advising fellow at Harvard, like I realized that my time as a first year was so hard in some ways, And a lot of things might have been easier if someone had just like told me about them. So I definitely didn't want other people to experience the same things I've experienced in terms of like the difficulty of being like a first year at a university. So yeah, I think the main reason I love mentorship is just like we can learn so much from each other, and from that there's so much, like so many doors are opened, so many ideas that you couldn't even think of could be brought to you. So it's definitely something that I encourage everyone to try and do, like either be a mentor or be a mentee.
Yeah, I really like that. No more questions on that. And you've really alluded to why it's useful for yourself to be mentored. It's useful for you to mentor others, just kind of paying it forward. And I guess the final question I would ask is, how do you seek out mentors? For you, it was, I guess, more organic. George and you went to the same high school, so there was kind of a lot of connection points there. But I'm wondering for, someone who just is starting, I don't know, starting out. Or maybe there's kind of like a maybe I should probably retract the question, because I think when we say mentors, we forget that mentor can take on a lot of different forms. It can be, like a peer who's a little bit older. It can be even like an uncle or a relative or whatever. But what if, I guess, so what if you're not able to access that? Like, if it's that's not kind of your immediate, that's not in your immediate environment, how do you go about seeking this?
So I think first of all, like, and so this is something that you've just alluded to, is reframing your definition of mentorship, right? Because mentorship is not just like knowing someone who, like, I don't know, gives you a job or like tells you this is the path to follow, right? Mentorship is something that is ongoing. It is happening all around us at every moment, right? Even with your friends. Once your friend like you Once you like share an idea with someone else, and then someone gives you criticism of that idea, someone gives you encouragement of that idea, that is mentorship, right? So it's really about, and we're gonna go back to this, about leveraging your network. Look at the people who are around you, the people you know, and try and see like where are the connections, like what do we have in common, where are the similarities, and then try and figure out how it is that you can help each other. And it's definitely something that you could always like try and figure out, like, okay, so this person has done this, this, and this, and try and ask them like, how did you do this? How did you end up being where you are? And try and get that information, and then that information could then be useful to you in other ways and in other senses. Because at the end of the day, what mentorship is, it's just an exchange of information. So the more people that you can get information from, the better. And also the more specific that information is to you, the more specific it is to what it is, the more specific it is in terms of what it is you want to do with your life, the better it is for you.
100% agree. You had mentioned that George pushed you to join choir while you were in high school, and I know that you sang as part of the Glee Club at Harvard. You traveled so much. Like one summer, were you in Japan or South Korea? I can't
I
remember,
was in
but
Japan, yeah.
You traveled a lot. I think you. I'd like to say I think you made good friends, because at your Zoom graduation this year, I saw you sing. So it must have been something that you really, really enjoyed. Also shows that I'm a fan. Why was I watching Harvard
Oh, thank you.
graduation? But why was it important for you to pursue your passions outside of your academic interests, regardless of whether George had pushed you to join like choir? Like, why was it important for you to, actually just do it and do it even post high school?
So I realize I love singing from a very young age. Like my parents will attest to the fact that I'm almost constantly singing in the shower and singing basically everywhere I go. So I definitely knew that singing is something that I wanted to work on and pursue. And singing in high school choir was one of the most memorable and just meaningful experiences that I had in high school. And so when I joined college, it was literally the first thing I sought out. Like, so really, I think just knowing what it is that sort of puts you in a space where you can thrive. Like, I know for me that singing with other people especially, I really enjoy it. I really feel like I'm alive in a sense. Like, like I'm doing something meaningful with my life whenever I'm singing. And so that was just something that was very important to me. So I think that like your academics are never like maybe they might be all of your life, but honestly, probably not. Like you will definitely have other things, other aspects of your life. And it's important to make sure that you're having a holistic transformation, right, when you're in college. Like you don't want to just get out of college as being like the smartest person in the world, or like only having like worked on your grades. Like you also want to work on other aspects of your life, and part of that is like seeking out people, it's connecting with people, it's figuring out what your interests are, and it's pursuing those interests. And that's something that I did with the Glee Club.
Yeah, no, I always ask these questions to my guests because I don't want this podcast to be lost in just like, just think about your career or like work hard or whatever, which I think those are really important. But you know me and you know I'm like a big advocate of mental wellness and a big advocate of
For sure,
physical,
for sure.
like yeah, like having a holistic kind of what's it called, like attending to almost all your needs, like whether it's like your intellectual needs or your emotional, your mental needs. I think that there's a good thing about having a balance in your life. It's just it reflects in your personal life, in your professional life, etc. And it's whatever escape you can have from like the daily stresses of life, I 100% advocate for. I think life is for the living. Yeah, so as I've really enjoyed speaking to you. Always sad to wrap up these kinds of conversations, but this is one also question that I've asked almost all my guests that have been on the podcast is, looking back, what's one thing you've done well, one thing you can pat yourself on the back and say, yeah, I did good. I did good. And what's one thing you wish you had done better when it comes to your professional development?
That's an interesting one. I mean, first I'd like to say thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. It's always great to talk about, like to look back on like what it is that like has helped and what it is that you can improve on. I think one thing I wish that one thing I think I definitely did well is, like as you said, is like probably the theme of this episode, is being proactive, right? Like talking to people, being open, and being honest about what it is that I was feeling, about how it is that I was interacting with some particular thing. I think that has helped me so much in my professional career. One thing I wish I had done better. Wow, actually, there's a lot of things. I wish that interestingly enough, as much as I was proactive, I wish I was a little bit more proactive, right? Like I feel like there are a lot of opportunities that I sort of went amiss because I wasn't proactive enough. I definitely feel like there was a lot more people at my school that I could have talked to, a lot more people like even in my network that I could have reached out to, especially when I had to make really tough decisions. So I definitely think that I don't think you can ever like be proactive enough, right? Like I think the world really is for the taking for the people who are proactive. I think that's definitely always something that I can improve on.
I really like that. I don't think there's any better way to end this episode. The world is for the taking, it's for those who are proactive. Thank you so much, Ernie, for being on the podcast. Really enjoyed our chat today. As
Thank
always,
you.
always great to connect with you.